most part, in buildings of stone. We have ceremonial places. That, where you were, was one such, a very great one. It centered a whole region of elves. The Elfane Teg was both powerful and beautiful. But old trouble out of Arrhenius came there, and the most powerful of our mages could only delay it long enough for the rest to escape. He paid the price for that delay with the centuries of his enslavement.
That was the one we saw? The same?
The elf nodded. Yes, he risked that to save the rest. But he could not save himself. We have no worse to fear than such slavery. A human can always hope for death. You will not live even 100 years, but for an elf to endure the touch of that filth forever. He stopped abruptly and stood up, facing away from her. Pox could not think of anything to say. She had finished her piece of the whey bread, and she went to the spring for another drink of water. When she returned, the elf had seated himself again, and seemed calmer.
"Do we travel again tonight?" she asked.
"No. We will meet the rangers here, at this spring. If you are not ready to sleep, I could tell you more of Leonia."
Pox nodded, and he spread his cloak and reclined on it.
"I told you how the elves came here," he began. "The land was not empty even before. The rock folk, both dwarf and gnome, quarried the mountains and hills. Orcs harried the forests in great tribes. We drove them out foot by foot. Other, smaller people lived here. They all vanished quite soon, and we never knew them. For long we had the forest to ourselves, and for long we planted and shaped the growing of it, flower and tree and moss. Then men came." He stopped, frowning, and paused long before going on. "The first to come was a shipload of sea folk, fleeing enemies up the broad Onergat. They cut a clearing on the shore and planted their grain. We watched from afar. A colony began along the coast, where Bannerlith is now, and another across the river's mouth. More ships came. We held council and decided to meet with them."
"What happened?"
"They were hasty men, used to war. I think they thought they could drive us all away, but one sea captain's son and his crew befriended an elf trapped by wolves along the shore, and as one note suggests a harmony, one honorable deed suggests the possibility of friendship. After a while, those who wanted to live with us settled on the south shore, and the rest took north. Elves are not much welcome in Pargon and Costandon. Then men began coming from the south. These were different, and they moved into Fintha and Saya. When we met them, they had friendly words, not blows, for us. Many of them had met elves in the mountains west of the South Marches. Here in Leonia itself, we made pacts with the humans and agreed on lands and forests. We had begun to intermarry, very slowly, and when Leonia grew to become a kingdom, elven blood ran in the royal family, though little enough in the present king."
"And it's now shared by elves and men?"
"Yes, as much as immortal and mortal can share anything. Those that will meet us here are both elven and human, most of mixed blood."
"Aren't you one of them?"
"I?" He laughed softly. "No, I wander too much. Master Oakhallow knew of the need, and used me for a messenger and guide. He is, as all the Quokgani are, one to make use of any chance that comes.